So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's time for the kids to go to Kids Connection. And I'm sure by the way, the last picnic is today. The last summer picnic is today. And it's at our home. If you don't know the address and you want to come, we've put the address on the Welcome Center. You can just take a picture of it or whatever if you want to come out. Love to have you. If you're using GPS and it tells you to go down Cook's Road, don't do that. It's like 10 kilometers of dirt road, okay? Go the Muncie Road way, because that's real tar, like real good for the vehicle. You know, we're on a dirt road, but if you go the Muncie way, you're only on a dirt road for 1 kilometer, okay? One ugly kilometer, okay? So, like I said, we'd love to have you. As we come into September. And by the way, probably starting next week, we're going to be introducing the entire leadership to you as September starts. We're gonna have everybody up front. So if you're, because that's the season, new season, where ministry starts up, technically, and we're gonna have, you know, new elder, new board people, you know, everybody who's on leadership, so you have a good idea. And I think we are inviting all the life group leaders as well, so you get a visual of everybody that's in a leadership position here at the church. And probably next week we're going to be making the overflow room available, all right? Because as you probably have guessed, we're starting to pack out a little bit, okay? So pray for the leadership as we consider what next steps are in store for Village Green, all right? How's everybody today? Are you good? You're looking good. But you are, you're looking good. I'm glad that you're here, all right? I want to ask you a question this morning as we start. Why does church exist? Why does church exist? Now, yeah, you can go ahead.
So
go.
We can build each other up and spur each other.
Okay. All right.
Worship.
Or be a light to the community.
Be a light to the community. I'm sorry?
Education.
Oh, I'm an educator. God told us to? Oh, okay. All right, good. I'm sorry?
Keep us on the right path.
Okay, what am I doing up here? Okay. Any others?
Bear each other's burdens.
Okay. Yeah. Get outside of the world for a day. Okay? Now, none of those are wrong. All of those are right. Okay? But how do I put this? Some of that is really from a person or people who are sitting within the congregation. Okay? But from a leadership standpoint, one of the important components to church is discipleship. It's to build people into the person of Jesus Christ, okay? You know, education's part of that, building the community, bearing each other's burdens, all of that kind of stuff, okay? But, you know, as a responsibility for a church, it's to help people grow in their faith. Now, That sounds, yeah, maybe cliche is a good word. But for many people, it's like, why? Why would I want to go to church and build my life, you know, in a way that honors Jesus Christ, okay? You know, we've said here from, you know, this platform many times that life is always going to be better with God than without God, always. And it doesn't matter what you're going through, whatever circumstance, situation, trauma, tragedy, heart, you know, heartbreak, it's going to always be better with God than without Him. And this is such an important criteria when it comes to gathering people in a community, whether online or in person, that we help people manage life through the person of Jesus Christ. That's always a much better scenario for your life. You're going to be a better person, human being. You're going to be a better father. You're going to be a better husband. You're going to be a better wife. You're going to be a better mother. You're going to be a you know, all of those things. You're going to be much better. You're going to be much better to the community that you're a part of. You're going to be much better to, you know, the country that you're a part of, the community, all of those things. You're just, if you're being authentic in trying to grow your faith, you are going to be better no matter what. And I can't imagine why anybody would not want to be better. I don't know anybody gets up in the morning and says, whose day can I ruin today? And if you do, we need to talk. Right? Right? We all want to be better in one way or another. Okay? And that's a criteria. That's a criteria, okay? But many leaders that I talk to will tell you that growing people, discipleship, spiritual growth is not as easy as it sounds. Okay? Here are some of the challenges, okay? Here is some of the challenges to growing deeper. Number one is, how do we measure spiritual growth? How do you measure spiritual growth? Okay, we're not a company that produces widgets. And we can say after the, you know, August, we produced 10,000 widgets more than we did last, you know, because it's very nebulous. Right? What is this spiritual growth thing? How do we measure it? How do we know that you're better this month than you were last month? Okay? Because those are kind of very subjective terms and very subjective, you know, formulae to kind of figure out how it is that you're growing. Okay? Here's number two, right? There is no one-size-fits-all method. Everyone in this room is at a different level spiritually. You know, you're farther ahead in some aspects of your spirituality than I am. And I may be further ahead than you are in certain things. But no two people are identical in their spiritual walk. We're all someplace on this continuum. And here we are. And when you're a church with many people and everybody's in a different place, what do you do with that? How do you navigate that? How do you, you know, put things together so, you know, and do we all want to be clones of each other? Oh, boy, like, heads are going like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Some of you are shaking so hard it probably hurt you. You know what I mean? Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. In fact, the beautiful thing about church is the different people. You know, we had the leadership out at our home yesterday for the leadership barbecue, and to meet all the different people and all the gifts that they bring to the church, you know, as I was barbecuing, I was thinking of all the people that were there and what they bring to the community. I just love the fact that, you know, there wasn't like 37 Johns there, right? Which was really a blessing. As much to me as it is to you. You know what I mean? It's just beautiful to have all these different people there. All those different people. Okay, so here's the last challenge. You know, how do we create an environment for engagement? For, you know, questions for natural growth to happen, organic growth to happen. Okay? You know, I don't like forcing people. I've never been a pastor that says, unless you do this. Besides, you'd probably laugh at me if I got, you know. But I love it when people are able to grow naturally, organically, that they have a motivation to want to grow, that they feel compelled, that they feel like this is such a beautiful way to grow, that it's so easy, and I'm around people that I love and people that want to support me and encourage me and move me in that direction. And that's just a wonderful thing to experience. So how do we do that? Okay? Well, as Richard, you know, so eloquently said earlier, we're into coming into the September season. And this church for many years has been sermon-based life group type of church. Okay, and we're going to talk about sermon-based life groups. I've been a big, big proponent of sermon-based life groups, that the majority of the groups that meet in the church study the sermon. Okay, that is very intimidating, by the way. Okay, I've had to learn over the years to get past people's criticisms of my sermons, and I'm not saying that because otherwise it doesn't work. If I'm not willing to have people say, I think you were wrong at this point, or I think you missed the point, or I think you could have said this better, okay? Do you know how, I don't want to say encouraging that is, but you're growing. It forces people to look at the text. It forces people to look at what is being taught. It forces people to say, what does this mean for me? How do I see it? And what difference is it making in my life? Okay, that's a big deal. Okay, because that's organic growth. Okay, and that's really, really important. Let me read a passage to you from the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Colossae, okay? Colossia, okay? And look at this beautiful passage of Colossians 2:7, and look at what Paul writes here as he's writing to this church. Let your roots grow down deep into him, Jesus. But he just doesn't leave it there. Notice how what he does next. And let your lives be built on him. You grow your roots down, okay? It allows you to live in a horizontal way as God intended. There's a corollary there. As your roots go down, your lives are built on those roots that you've sunk down deep. You know, we have a motto here at Village Green about exploring life. And when we say exploring life, we're talking about exploring life through the way of Jesus. Because Jesus, I believe, gives us a better way to live, a better hope, a better promise, a better eternity, you name it. Life is better with Jesus, period. There's no argument there. And then look what Paul says, then your faith will grow strong in the truth, okay? In the truth that you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Overflow with thankfulness. I listened to a podcast just the other day about the lack of gratitude that we have in the world and just how difficult it is for people to be thankful of where they are. Because if you're not thankful about where you are, you will never grow. You'll stay stagnant is one part of the points that they were making. Gratitude allows you to take what you have, appreciate it, and build on that. But if you don't have any gratitude in your life, you don't appreciate what you have, so you never build from it. You just continue to kind of disassemble it, dismantle it, destroy it. And I thought that was a really powerful point, okay? And Paul, if you read letters, Paul is always encouraging believers to be thankful. to have gratitude. Okay? So here's why we do sermon-based life groups. I'm gonna give you some reasons, all right? I've only done a few, but I have like another half dozen that I could have added, but these are the ones that are really important. Okay? Number one is it raises the level of sermon engagement and impact. Okay? Now, this sounds really selfish, doesn't it? Okay? Because I spend hours putting sermons together, right? It's really nice that I get more, you know, engagement by having sermon-based life groups. Because even if you're not in church, and if you're in a life group, you're listening to the sermon online. You're downloading it, blah, blah, all that kind of stuff. But here's a more practical reality. In a 10-minute talk, if you ask everybody, what do you remember right after a 10-minute talk, how much do you think you remember? 50%. The next day, it's 25%. In a week, it's less than 10%. Okay? That's a 10-minute talk. Typically, we're 30 minutes. So I don't know if it goes down more or up more. You know what I mean, right? So if this message is so important, if what we're teaching here is so important, if it's life and death kind of messages, if it's messages about making your life better, helping you see God in your life, you know, helping you to pray better, helping you to understand the Bible better, all of those kinds of things, if the message is that important, wouldn't we want at least the messages to have some kind of further engagement and traction that they do? Doesn't that just lend itself to why the church exists in the first place? You know, that's such an important thing, you know? You know, we have like 50 to 70% of this church involved in small groups. You know how powerful that is to know that this percentage of people are gathering together weekly and studying what we talked about on Sunday? That is really powerful, I have to tell you. It's really powerful, okay? And you know, I'll tell you another thing. Because you're studying week in week, you know, I can't be lazy. All right? I've been a pastor for 30 years. I was a professor for 27 years. It's easy for me to get lazy. I can come up here, open the Bible to any place, and I can ramble on for 20 minutes. But when you got sermon-based life groups that people are studying the Word and engaging in the text and all that kind of stuff, I can't be lazy. And I hope you dig deep too because of it. Okay? Not that I want to be lazy, right? Because it needs to challenge you as well, as much as it challenges me. You know what it looks like when you're up here and you see the congregate and everybody's taking notes? You know what that looks like? That's really cool. That's really cool. I tell this story many, many times, but I remember a friend a number of years ago coming and afterwards we went out for lunch and he said to me, "Your church is really rude." And I went, "What do you mean in church? Everybody's on their phones." And I said, "Oh, no, they're all taking notes." He said, "What? No way." I said, "Yeah, maybe a few are playing, you know, whatever." Right? They need a break too, you know, right? But a majority of them have taken notes because we have the notes in YouVersion, and in that time it was really, really popular. And they're all taking notes on their phones, right? But he thought we were really rude. Like, how can you preach when nobody's like, anyway, right? And I said, look at how many times people lift up their phones and click on the screen. Because see that all the time, right? Because it's an easy way to do it, okay? Here's the second thing. The messages can have a whole new level of intentionality. All right? Suppose the entire church is, let's take finances for a minute, okay? Finances in this day and age can be a bit of a challenge for many people, okay? You know how much intentionality we can have to teach a series on finances and then have everybody study that throughout the week. It's just not a message on Sunday morning that the next week you only remember maybe 10%. You reinforce whatever those lessons are. You reinforce the applications. You know, through the life group notes, we can say, listen, this week, do this. This is part of the application process. And it just reinforces the messages and helps guide people in you know, spiritual nurturing on some very important topics. If we do a series on prayer, imagine the things that we can put into the life group notes about pray these prayers this week. You know, what is it that you're praying and asking God for? Keep a journal of how God has answered through the week. You know, all kinds of things like that. It's just so much intentionality and a reinforcement of the application. Okay? And by the way, I spend more time taking things out of the sermon than in the sermon. Scripture is so deep that a lot of times, you know, we could just do a data dump. And I've told you at times, this message is going to be a big data dump because this is really important stuff. But the nice thing is that you can take some of those extra things that you would have loved to have talked about and add them to the life group notes. It broadens the horizon and it broadens your understanding of the text and all of those kinds of things. And it's just a beautiful thing. You know, can you tell I'm committed to sermon-based life groups? It's such, you know, in fact, I am shocked that more churches don't do this. I think it's a big mistake. I think it's one of the best discipleship tools that churches have. I really do. Thank you. And you know, when majority of the church is interacting with the same message, you know how many people have come to me and said, you know, oh, in our life group, we were talking about this aspect of the message in our life group. You know how cool that is? That is just really cool. Here's the next thing. It's easier to find shepherds than experienced teachers. Okay? One of the great tensions of small groups and life groups in general is finding leaders who are gifted to lead, you know, and teach a group, okay? It's easier to find shepherds because the majority of the teaching is done on a Sunday morning here, all right? And by the way, I get emails all the time from people in life groups saying, what did you mean by question number 3? How do we best handle it? All of that kind of stuff. You have that access all the time, okay? Sermon-based small groups with its focused teaching coming from the message helps to alleviate a lot of the tension of, I need to know it all. I need to be able to present this in a really powerful way. That isn't the thing. Here's the next point. It makes spiritual growth a priority. That's the neat thing about sermon-based life groups. We could come here every Sunday. I could, you know, dump on you for 30 minutes and you can go home. What did you learn? What did you engage with? What do you remember? But when you get together in a group, a small group of people, and you're reinforcing those lessons, it helps you grow. It helps you grow. Okay? And, you know, and I'll tell you, part of being a life group leader is looking at your people and saying, and recognizing those moments where they are growing. They're less angry than they were last week. Because they learned something about anger last week that they're putting in practice this week. Okay, here's a couple more. It provides a powerful model for our children. When you're gathering week in and week out in your home with other people, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, there was a time we actually paid for childcare in groups. Okay, because we felt it was so important as a testimony to the families to gather together as something that the kids see is a priority for mom and dad and the other people in the community. Okay? Because it is a priority. All right, here's the last one. And like I said, there's another half dozen more. Adaptability. adaptability. It allows the community to participate beyond Sunday morning. Now, I'm going to talk to the online group, right? There are many of you that are part of our online community. And you know, we love having you as part of the community, but you're not left out in this. We have a number of groups that meet online alone. And if you want to join an online group, you have the we have the adaptability to do that, to meet online. You know, we have people from other churches that you know, join online and things like that, right? Because they like whatever study we're going through. So we have that adaptability. So if you're online, don't feel left out. You can join an online life group and you can be part of it too. So it's not just you check in Sunday morning and you wonder when the reruns are gonna start, you know? So you can join a group as well. And here's the last point about adaptability. You might say to me, life groups are totally out for me right now. Can't do life groups, and you can have 1,000 reasons. You know what? It's okay. If you can't do life groups right now for whatever reason in your life, what about doing it as personal devotions? What about, you know, if you're here Sunday morning and you're struggling with your spiritual, you know, growth and stuff like, why not take the material and just grow yourself on your own until you're ready to join a group? It's got that kind of adaptability. You don't need to be left out. You can take that kind of initiative in your own life to help yourself grow, okay? Like I said, we got about 6 more points. But that's where we are. So groups start next week. The 14th, that week. And I want to put a slide up. So starting September 14th, we are having a series, a 10-part series, because our groups go 10 weeks at a time, okay? That's starting September 14th. And we're doing a series called The Search for Meaning, and it's a journey through life's questions, and we're looking at the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Okay, so we're going 10 weeks into the Old Testament book of the Ecclesiastes. If you have questions about life, the book of Ecclesiastes is this beautiful book that almost every question, big question you have about life is being answered in that book. And we're going to go 10 weeks in Ecclesiastes. And again, maybe you can't be in a life group. Maybe you can't be in a sermon-based life group. But you want to do the work of going through the material for Ecclesiastes because you have questions about life that you would love answered. And here's the next thing. If you want your life to be better, then take the investment to be better with Jesus. Amen. Because a study like this is going to help you navigate the difficult areas of your life in a way that brings honor to God and helps you manage whatever it is that you're going through. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Since it is a celebration Sunday, and we're talking about some really important things, I want to invite the elders to come up, the elders that are here. And we have a membership a person to welcome into membership this morning. So I want to ask Jeanette Cully to come up. Yeah. Well, Jeanette, we have a passage that we typically read on membership. And the passage is this: "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You know, I read that passage, and Jeanette, I know that's where your heart is. I really do know that's where your heart is. Jeanette, I know you've taken out membership a little while ago, and we finally had an opportunity to welcome you into membership. But it really is my privilege and my pleasure as part of the elders and the other elders that are up here to welcome you into membership. You are such a blessing. Anybody that knows Jeanette is such a blessing. Okay. Now, since I'm the one with the microphone, I'm going to pray for Jeanette, all right? I'm going to pray for you. Father in heaven, thank you for this moment where we can recognize Jeanette as she comes into membership. Thank you that she has wanted to partner with us in this very formal way. And thank you for her heart. She is such an example of Christ-likeness, and her adoration of you and her faith is so vibrant. We just thank you, Lord, for the testimony that she has and the witness that she has for you. Lord, we pray that you would continue to keep her strong, that you would continue to guide her life, that she would know your presence in a very tangible way, and that you would bless her from this day forward as a member of this church in all that she endeavors to do for you. Lord, her life is a testimony to giving you the glory. And we thank you for her as part of this community. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I'm going to ask, Julianne's going to lead us in one last song. Thank you very much for being here. Hope to see you next week. Next week is our communion service. And make sure you...